Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Sean Windsor from the Detroit Free Press. Sean, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Oh, happy to be with you, Robbie. Thanks for having me on.
So, Sean, what did you make of the day yesterday with Iowa and Kentucky both going down? Already some madness to start off this NCAA tournament.
Well, that was something. You know, it's funny because I was at the I'm completely confused because I was at the Michigan – I don't even remember who they played at this one. Who did they play? Michigan, Colorado
State. Colorado State. That's all right,
Colorado,
man. I'm with
State
you.
Game in Indianapolis. I had to write a column. And then I had my travel plans all changed up and had to find a way to get down to Greenville, South Carolina, which I am finally here now for Michigan State and Davidson and, you know, some other games. We'll see. But so I kind of followed it on my phone, a little bit on the plane. I saw the Kentucky game, the Iowa game. I felt bad for them. You were thinking maybe this was finally the year they'd at least win a couple of games. So, but, you know, based on what they've done, I guess it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, and then you got a text from me telling you that I'm about to do an all-nighter writing about St. Peter. So, you know, you get to also get my angst and enjoyment of this whole crazy thing. I tell you what, Sean, this is I don't know if I've seen a first day quite like this. I mean, we certainly remember well the Michigan State Middle Tennessee from 6 years ago, but the Kentucky thing alone, and then Iowa. I mean, it's already wild. Do you think that, like, the lack of a tournament 2 years ago, the weirdness of the tournament last year, and how some of these players who would normally be more experienced in this thing aren't as much now? Do you think there's any kind of correlation there?
Well, it's interesting. The other thing too is, I mean, they're fans again. I know there were some fans last year, but it wasn't the same, right? You were in some of those arenas, right, Joe? They were. Yeah, it just wasn't the same. In fact, Juwan Howard, Michigan's coach, yesterday talked about his center, Hunter Dickerson, as not having a lot of tournament experience, even though they made a run to the regional final last year, because of the fans, because that changes everything. So, you know, it's interesting about Middle Tennessee State and Michigan State. I don't know if Kentucky was quite as good as that team. We've seen the 15-2 before. The thing that I thought about with Iowa is they won the Big Ten tournament, and they had to play 4 games in 4 days. And you wonder, and you finish up Sunday late afternoon. I think the Big Ten's the only one that plays, maybe not the only one, but one of the few that finishes on Sunday. And they turn around and play Thursday. And you just wonder, I mean, is a jump-shooting team like that, one of the hottest teams in the country, all of a sudden can't shoot? I mean, Richmond's defense probably had something to do with it, but you wonder about that setup.
Sean Windsor for the Detroit Free Press on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean, you brought up Michigan. What did you think of their performance against Colorado State yesterday? And what do you think of this second round matchup between Michigan and the Tennessee Vols that's on the table for tomorrow?
Well, I think, I mean, Michigan was without their starting point guard. He was in the concussion protocol. He took an elbow in the nose, if I'm not mistaken, and practice a couple of days before. So Devontae Jones is his name, and he's a transfer as a senior, and he'd never played in a tournament before either, but he had been playing really well down the stretch. So I felt like they struggled a little bit. I mean, he helps really balance the floor. They run a lot of high ball screens. I don't want to geek out here too much. I mean, Joe, first of all, knows a lot more about ball than I do.
But, no, geek out, man. No, geek out. Go ahead.
No. But he's without him, they were just imbalanced and a little bit lost. I mean, Joe was there. He saw part of it. When he wasn't, eating Cheetos or whatever, but he, or whatever, I can't even remember what his favorite snacks are anymore. You have to forgive me. But no, they were, they struggled to stop Colorado State defensively. And Joe, you saw that, right? The closing out on the perimeter, and Colorado State hit a lot of threes. But I thought the bigger issue was just getting good shots. They kept dumping it down to Dickinson, but they were sort of trading twos for threes at one point. In the second half, the freshman, Frankie Collins, their point guard, settled in a little bit and started attacking the rim, and they started to figure out their spacing. and just kind of rolled from there. So I actually thought their second half performance was about as good as they've looked. And as far as Tennessee, I don't know if Jones is going to be back. Howard said he was going to be back soon, but I would think they would need him against Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee's probably a little bit more athletic overall, but Hunter Dickinson's just a load. And if they can play kind of inside out, they do have some shooters. I think it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know anywhere near as much as you do about hoops or food, so let's make that clear. and on the Wolverines, Sean, you look at teams' numbers sometimes, and it can be deceiving. They were bad early in the season. I mean, they were probably the most disappointing team in college basketball as of like mid-January, and they've been a lot better. So I think if a Tennessee fan looks at Michigan's just profile, they're like, okay, well, this is an 11 seed. Look at other numbers. But their defensive efficiency, I think they're 78th, which is not great. I'm just wondering, just on that, in that aspect right there, have they made big strides? Is that a deceiving number? Because that's the kind of number that the way Tennessee's playing means Tennessee is about to have a big day.
Well, there've been a few teams, even when they were playing better down the stretch, that still lit them up. Illinois was one. I was at the game. In Illinois, it's a team capable of a lot of offense. But yesterday they started three freshmen. They had been starting two freshmen. It's funny because Howard was asked what that was like, starting three freshmen. He kind of joked, well, he remembered Steve Fisher starting five freshmen, reference to the Fab Five and his old coach when Howard played at Michigan. But I think it's just when you say disappointing teams, I wrote about this the other day, Joe, and I'm curious what y'all think. Michigan was a Big Ten favorite and a preseason top 10 team, but based on recruiting rankings. And at what point are we going to start to think about, look, Duke was the last team that won the title with young people, with freshmen. And that was, 6 years ago? Seniors and juniors and, maybe a freshman or sophomore roll in with that are the teams that, those are the teams that win the titles. So I'm not sure why we thought Michigan was going to be that way. I know they have Eli Brooks, who's kind of a combo guard. He's a senior. And they had the transfer in Jones. But it's a young team. And young teams, they're not what they used to be in that way. And so, are they disappointed if you look back on it? Maybe we're the ones that got it wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Sean Windsor on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean, what do you think of the matchup for Michigan State today as they take on Davidson?
Well, I think that's a scary matchup if you love that team because they've got five guys that can shoot. They run good stuff. It's kind of a read and react system. It's like Golden State with five shooters instead of three in that way. Or the Spurs teams from several years ago. They move the ball. They a lot of backdoor stuff. State's can be good defensively this year, but Joe will tell you, they really got a couple of guys that don't always have their head on a swivel, so they're susceptible to that sort of thing. However, State played its best ball in the Big Ten tournament and was focused and locked in. It's not Izzo's most talented team, but they do have enough talent to beat Davidson. But, I would be nervous if I were a Michigan State fan.
So when former Michigan State guard Foster Lawyer puts up 40 on the Spartans tonight and bounces them and then goes on to send Coach K to the rocking chair, but are you going to get back here? Because Michigan, Tennessee is at 5:15 Saturday. So you can do it, man. You can get back here for this game. We can get some shrimp cocktail.
It's it's funny you say that because the sports information director for Michigan sent out an email last night at 2 in the morning or whatever when TNT and CBS had decided the times. And, Joe, I saw the 5:12 tip. Is that right? Is it 5:12 or 5:15?
Yeah, 5:15. Yeah, whatever, right in there, yeah.
Yeah, and I talked to my editor that if State loses to Davidson in the time aligned and the price wasn't too crazy, we would consider it. So, sure enough, I started looking at airline switches, and it is a possibility. How about that? I'll say that. It's at least possible to get back to Indy. Wouldn't that be something to go from three straight days like that, three in different venues? That's kind of ridiculous.
You're just the guy to do it.
That's right. Well, Sean Windsor.
Sean loves hoops that. More. Sean loves hoops more than I do. Seriously.
Wow,
I
mean, that's impressive.
If you guys and you guys know, and Michelle loves, Sean is the hoops guy, and the food guy.
So how are you surviving in Nashville? Well, Vanderbilt's got. I mean, you've got some decent hoops around there, but you don't have any. You don't have any NBA hoops there, unless you follow the Grizzlies. I take it.
Well, we got John Morant to the west, and we got the Vols about to win in the Natty to the right. So it's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. Plus, you have better food.
Sean Windsor from the Detroit Free Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sean, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Have fun this weekend in the NCAA tournament.
We'll do. Thanks for having me on, guys. And maybe I'll see you Saturday, Joe.
All right, man. I'm counting on it. Foster Laura's going off tonight. Book it.
wouldn't that be the story? That would be the story, wouldn't it? All right. Thanks again, guys.
Sean Windsor, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Sean had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on the tournament. What do you think of this matchup for Tennessee as they take on Michigan coming up on tomorrow in the round of 32? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Almost lost the dribble. Chris.
That's a foul. Murray. Yes. He didn't call it. That was a foul.
He sure looked like it. He's looking around with his hands and his palms up as if to say, what do I have to do to get a foul?
Whoa. Richmond got away with a major violation right there.
It'll be the Vols in Michigan coming up on Saturday in the round of 32. Michigan takes down Colorado State yesterday. Tennessee, big win against Longwood yesterday in a game where they dominated offensively, really from the jump in that game. So, interesting matchup in round two for the Vols, taking on the Michigan Wolverines and Juwan Howard. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Max in Kentucky texting in says, this is going to get me yelled at, but I'm torn for the outcome of the Michigan-UT game. As a fan, I want the Wolverines to win, but it would bust my bracket the one year I try to create a non-homer bracket. This is coming from Max in Kentucky. My follow-up question would be, like, is your bracket not yet busted already? That would be my question.
Yeah,
congratulations to you.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's been some other texts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about other people who've picked Kentucky deep, including Jay Billis. Vital apparently agreed with us. I didn't see Dick's pick, but he picked Kentucky to win it all. So, yeah, if you're still in good shape now, good for you. I mean, Iowa wasn't like – see, Iowa was a great reminder for everyone. And I said this. I said don't get too enamored with that team that goes nuts in its conference tournament. Those teams lose so often. And to Sean's point, 4 games in 4 days, and then they get the early Thursday game. And I should have looked at the early Thursday game and said, see, that's a problem. Maybe Friday night, it's a different legs for that team. They're a jump shooting team. So stupid. So that one actually could have been avoided.
Willie both had it.
Yeah. Well, look, Keegan Murray is arguably the best player in the country. Like, Oscar Tshiebwe is going to win National Player of the Year, and he should. But Keegan Murray, like, to me, Jabari Smith may be a little bit more talented, but Keegan Murray is right there with him, and he's amazing. But anyway, that one could have been foreseen. Kentucky losing to St. Peter's? Hell no. No. No freaking way.
Maybe it didn't actually happen. I really haven't accepted it, actually. I don't think it actually happened. Maybe it was a dream.
Maybe we're all dreaming right now.
So Michelle, listen, I was dreaming
BBN's
last night.
BBN's going nuts? Like, apparently BBN's going nuts today?
Is that what you told me on Twitter? Yeah. Twitter's trend. Couch Cal on Twitter's trending, and people are like, get him out of here, going crazy. So let's just calm down. Let's just take a step back. The wound is very, very fresh. Yeah.
Maybe it should have been in the NIT this year. Could have won that one.
Well, we could be looking at Kentucky Vandy. Vandy hosts Dayton on Sunday in the NIT. Rodney Chapman against his old team. It could be a Vandy Kentucky SEC rematch.
Vandy's going farther in the postseason than them.
It's been a wild matchup in the NIT. Lots of fun happening in the crowd in the NIT as of late, too, from what I hear.
Very cheeky.
Apparently that guy got arrested.
I would hope so.
We're doing that?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's probably appropriate.
And don't worry, guys. It was not Joe Rexroad.
Yeah. We can confirm.
Wait, did someone ask if it was me?
No.
Okay. Why are you even putting that into the air? You know,
I just thought
I'm sorry, Kentucky lost. You've been trying to ruin my life now.
Amazing.
Joe, he has white hair.
That is true.
And a white butt.
Cheeks, actually.
Nate on the text line. I don't really know where to go after that. Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Says Michigan played a physical game and had to come back while the Vols basically cruised for most of the game. When a team beats another team pretty easily from all areas, especially outside shooting, do you think that makes it more advantageous for playing a more physical game in the second round? What do you think of the way the games went for both Michigan and Tennessee?
Well, look, Michigan had to expend a lot more energy than Tennessee. They were down 15. They played a good – Colorado State's a good team. But they're clearly not as talented as Michigan. I mean, you can see that, you know, matchups across the board. You know, Michigan had the advantage in all of, just about every one but power forward. And Michigan, of course, has a 7'1", 260-pound center that is going to be a matchup advantage against Tennessee, too. I mean, you can look at Tennessee's game and say, ooh, too easy, and you lit up a bad, you know, you lit up an inferior team. And it was just three pointers bombing all day. I mean, 14 to 24. That's ridiculous. So you could look at that and say, oh, too easy. And you can't get in love with that. And man, save a few and all that stuff. But the bottom line is one guy played more than 30 minutes. It was Josiah James. He played 31 and you got rest. Everybody's good. And they are feeling good. There's a benefit to everyone feeling good about their shot. You know, last night and this whole stretch for Kentucky, if Kellen Grady doesn't go into a slump down the stretch here, then they're a different team. And last night I've got it directly across from Cal, and he's passing up these shots that are catch and shoot. And he's doing these sides and he's screaming at him. He finally takes him out of the game. And he's just like, shoot the ball. And he's screaming at him. That, you know, you would. So point being, Tennessee's guys are feeling good. And we talked about it earlier in the show. Josiah James is 14 of 26 from three in five games since getting the splint off the middle finger that had torn tendons and had to have 12 weeks to heal. And he somehow got through those 12 weeks while playing well,
yeah.
Not shooting well. Well, now he's shooting well. And if he's going to shoot like that, and Vescovi on the other wing is going to shoot like he's shooting, they're a problem. This is why they're my national championship pick as of today, right now.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line. John, the mailman, texting in says, Michelle feels like I did in 04 when the Yankees lost to the Red Sox. Still not over it. It's coming from John, the mailman. What a series that was.
Well, I'm a Red Sox fan, so that's just a big old smile to my face. If you guys were a fly on the wall in the bar I was watching the game at last night, like, people were staring. Not that I was screaming, but I just had the blank stare on my face and my boyfriend next to me and my best friend on the other side. And once the game ended, tears started streaming down. And I was like, I feel so bad for Oscar. And my friend has no idea the players' names. And she's like, who's Oscar? Who is Oscar? And I'm like, I just feel so bad for him. And she's like, wait, what happened? And it, honestly, looking back on it, it's pretty funny. Like, I would have been laughing at myself. I always laugh at people who cry at games, and I was that person.
I just wish you were in the crowd.
I would be in one shining moment.
Yeah.
Such a missed opportunity. Like, question. Joe, why didn't you invite me?
Well, I mean, hey, you should come now. I mean, there's plenty of room in this town.
Absolutely no interest.
Hotel rooms are going for about $8 a night now. So, and beers are happy hour today, 50 cent beers. So,
oh, yeah.
If anybody wants to come to a ghost town, come on out to Indy. Oh, actually, speaking of that, a thought just came to my head. Like, Tennessee had a really good presence yesterday, but it still wasn't Kentucky presence. What will the Tennessee versus Michigan presence be tomorrow? That'll be interesting. Michigan's only 4 hours away from here, but Knoxville's like five?
Yeah, I think it'll be.
Probably a good, like, neutral site. Back and forth.
Yeah, I think obviously it being on a Saturday helps. I think it'll be a pretty nice mix there. Aaron on the text line texting in says, let's talk about the most important game tonight. Chattanooga Mox taking down the Fighting Illini.
Maybe already so. Called the shot. Already called the shot. I'm taking the Mox. I mean, my bracket has Illinois, I think, in the Elite Eight. So But whatever, my bracket is completely worthless already. So who cares? I do think the Mocs have a chance. I think Illinois has a chance to do damage. They've got a dominant big man in Kofi Coburn, and they got really good guards. But we saw him last year against Loyola, struggle against a really good defensive team. Malachi Smith from Chattanooga, I think that could be a great game today.
Coming up next, it is time for weekend winners. We've got some picks for you this weekend. Obviously, a lot in college basketball. The NHL on the table as well. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. NCAA tournament well underway. Some big NHL games coming up this weekend. Any way you want to take it, I'd be paying attention to this segment. We've been doing pretty well as of late. Joe Rexrode, a quick standings update in the competition here today on Weekend Winners.
Hi. I didn't mute myself, just for the record.
You did not.
I just struggling to click. So, yeah, last week was a good week for Robbie. Michelle and I both went 2-4, didn't get our locks. Robbie went 4-2 with his lock, which means Robbie's in first place, 15-9, 4-0 on the locks, 19 points. I am right there, 15-9, but I missed my lock, so I'm 3-1 my locks, 18 points. Michelle, 11-13, 0-4 on the locks, and that's the big issue, 11 points, still very early.
Still very early in the competition. So let's get rolling here today. We'll begin with Tennessee and Michigan coming up tomorrow in the round of 32. Tennessee favored by 6 in this matchup. I said earlier in the show, I think this game goes to overtime. I think Tennessee wins, but give me Michigan plus the 6. So I will go Michigan plus 6 against Tennessee tomorrow in the round of 32. Joe Rexrode, you're up next. Tennessee and Michigan, Tennessee favored by 6.
I agree. Like, I think it'll be a very close game, a very good game. I mean, Michigan is going to be a very worthy challenge. I have the Vols win it all, and the Vols can absolutely be done Saturday if they aren't on top of their game. I just see this kind of going. Vols with a small margin, hit some free throws late. By the way, on that front, you know, Kennedy Chandler, he hit his first two yesterday, and then he was way off in his second two. It's something to watch. Kennedy Chandler, your point guard, got to hit those free throws. But I think the Vols will extend it enough late to cover, so give me the Vols.
Michelle, Tennessee favored by 6 in this matchup against the Wolverines. Who you taking, Tennessee or Michigan?
I am absolutely loving the way that the Volunteers are playing. And I think, okay, let's relax, Robbie Stanley. I really think this team is just peaking at the perfect time. I know you guys think it's going to be a close game. I think they handle Michigan. I really do. I see Tennessee winning by about 10 points. I like the momentum heading into this game. And if they can get ahead of Michigan like Colorado State did in the first half, I think the Vols will be able to handle it. So give me the Vols minus 6. And are you ready for this? My lock.
Yes.
Also, Michelle, DJ Burnside, the meme he just made of me on Twitter is quite literally absolutely hysterical.
Crying Jordan. Michelle Knezeval here on the program. What a pick.
Ha, ha, ha.
I think this is a blatant attempt to jinx the Vols, but I could be wrong.
I think it is. You'll never know.
I like it, though. I like the petty.
All right, Joe, coming up next, the Preds and Leafs coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. On the puck line, you taking Nashville, you going Toronto.
You know, I've switched. I expected the Preds to win last night, and I expected them to lose this game. But I think because of last night, I think that's going to help them in this game. So give me the Preds.
Michelle, Preds and Maple Leafs on the puck line. Who are you taking?
I have the same thought process on this one, Joe. I don't think that was a very happy John Hines. We heard a little bit from him earlier. He's going to get on them. Preds are going to get a win tonight, a nice little bounce back win. Give me the Preds.
I think the Preds get back to playing defense. I think it's going to be a close one. Wouldn't be surprised if this one goes to overtime either. I'll go Preds on a good game tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. I think it's going to be high scoring tomorrow, so we'll see what happens on that front. Memphis taking on Gonzaga. Memphis gets a big win in the first round. They'll take on the Zags in the round of 32. Gonzaga favored by 10.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michelle Knezevic, who are you taking, Memphis or Gonzaga?
See, this one was kind of tough for me because I very much think we could see Memphis come out flat, like their inconsistency this season, or they could come out and just have a phenomenal game and shoot the lights out. I do think 10 points is a little big just for a tournament game. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I think Gonzaga ultimately wins, but give me Memphis plus the 10.
Joe Rexrode, Memphis taking on Gonzaga. Gonzaga favored by 10.5 in this game.
You know, for about just about 30 minutes, we had a situation yesterday.
We did.
And this happened to be on in the press room after the Vols game. I mean, Rob Lanier, former Rick Barnes associate head coach, fantastic coach, doing a great job with Georgia State. And they're beating Gonzaga in the second half. And I know that doesn't necessarily translate to the next game, but meanwhile, Memphis almost blew a huge lead in their game, but also they looked really good at building it. I think they're going to be up for this challenge, and I think they're going to make this a really interesting, good game. They got depth. They got athleticism. They've got the big inside to deal with, you know, the 7'11" freshman who weighs 180 pounds, but is a freak of nature for sure. I think Memphis is going to make this a really interesting game, and it's going to come down to the late stages. I would also pick Gonzaga to survive, but I like Memphis a lot, plus 10.5.
I like Memphis plus 10.5 as well. So a sweep from Memphis there with the three of us taking Memphis plus the 10.5. We move to the individual portion of the program. I'll start us off with my first individual pick. Going NHL, give me the Washington Capitals money line against Carolina. Carolina favorite in this game at home. I like the way Washington has been playing as of late. So I think the Capitals, Peter Laviolette and company, go on the road to Carolina, and they get a win tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. So Washington, money line over the Hurricanes. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
So all three are games from today. And my first one, I'm going to go Delaware Nova. You know, you look at some of these games, and any of them, look, St. Peter's and Kentucky prove. I mean, how many people loved Kentucky, minus 18? You know, even not forget winning, just minus 18. So,
LOL.
Anything. Yeah. But I'm looking at Villanova minus 15.5. And I just think this is going to be one of those games more like Tennessee's game yesterday against the lower seed. I think Nova rolls by about 25. So give me Nova minus 15.5 and make it my lock.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Michelle Konezvic, your first individual selection.
This is a game that I am been anticipating since we saw the brackets come out. Loyola Chicago versus Ohio State. Pretty much a pick 'em. Loyola Chicago is favored by 1. I think that Loyola Chicago is going to roll over Ohio State. I also think they could be making a deep run again in this tournament. Give me Loyola Chicago. I think they win by about 5.
I like that. That's a good pick. Loyola over Ohio State. I've already done my first round pick, so we'll switch up the order. Michelle, kick us off with your second individual selection.
Next, I've got Wisconsin-Colgate. Wisconsin is favored by about 7.5 points. See, at first I looked at the line, but I've watched some Colgate basketball. Shout out upstate New York. I think Wisconsin is a team that is peaking later in this season. That game against Purdue, I think, like the first day of March, pretty crazy. Give me Wisconsin on this one. I think they'll cover easily. I think they'll win by about 10.
So Badgers minus 7.5 against Colgate. Joe Rexrode, give me Notre Dame plus 4.5 against Alabama and make it my lock. Not only will Notre Dame cover this spread, I've called it earlier, Notre Dame is going to beat Alabama today. You can take it to the bank. The Irish take down Alabama plus the 4.5, locking it down.
I guess I could switch up, but whatever. I have the exact same thing. I love the 4.5 that Notre Dame's getting. I think it's going to come down to the end, and maybe they're in for another game. You know, the one thing that I worry about is first 4 game, and now they're going out to San Diego.
Yep.
That is, you think about legs and travel and wear and tear, but I'm with you. I'm taking the same thing.
And I worry about Alabama. If they get hot shooting, they may win by 30. So we'll see what happens.
Against anyone.
Game. Yeah, exactly. Joe, your final individual selection.
And I'm going to go – I mean, hey, look, if you're going with a called shot as it translates to this, Chattanooga, Illinois -8. I definitely will take the Mox and the 8 points there. I think this could be one of the special games of the day.
I'll go the exact opposite. Give me Illinois -8 against the Mox. I think they roll in this game. Michelle Knezvik, your final individual selection.
Are you ready, fellas? Duke.
I'm ready.
CSU Fullerton. Duke is favored by 18.5. Give me Fullerton. Duke is out of the tournament. They get shocked, and everybody can stop talking about St. Peter's Peacocks.
So are you going money line, or are you going +18.5?
Well, I'm going +18.5, but maybe actually, here's the thing. Put $5 on Fullerton. They win, and they create this upset. You could win yourself some money. Like, what? I think if you were to put like $10 on St. Pete's last night,
I know
you would have won a lot of money. So in you win $120 if you put $10 on CSU.
I really wish that I would have thrown a few bucks on the Peacocks last night. That'd been some good stuff.
So would I. It would have made me feel better. I would have won some money and could have gone shopping or something.
This has been Weekend Winners. Good luck in the competition coming up. We've done pretty well in the competition so far. NCAA tournament going to be a fun test of that. We'll come back. We'll get your final thoughts on the NCAA tournament, wherever you want to take it, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. What a day it's been here on the program. Kentucky goes down last night. Michelle's heartbroken. The Packers trade Davante Adams, my favorite player in the NFL, away to the Raiders. I'm heartbroken. And Joe Rexrode doesn't remember what sleep's like. He's heartbroken, too. What a day here on the program.
We made it, though.
Yeah. No, I seriously was I was going to text Chase and be like, can you, like, fill in for me for, like, the last couple hours, man? I'll wash your car. That's all I ever have to offer is, like, washing my car. And meanwhile, I'm so smart that Porth just asked me to go on 670 to talk college hoops, right? When this show ends, I'm like, sure, rather than passing out. Although I may pass out mid-interview.
Hey, wait a minute. Is Hub Arkish going to be on that show? We can't have
that. Ooh. Let's have a little point counterpoint with Hub Arkish.
Yeah.
We need Ryan versus Hub as a weekly feature on The Score.
Yeah. Talk to me about your MVP voting process there, Hub. Good stuff. Yeah. Drew on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, attaches a Woody and Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story gift that just says haters, haters everywhere, and points it at you and me, Rex, for taking Notre Dame today against Alabama. Drew, not very happy.
Well, look, like you said it, though, and I agree. I mean, Alabama is capable of being, you know, beating anyone. They've beaten Gonzaga this year. Like, they're capable of doing that. It's hard to trust them right now. It's hard to trust them. And I was very impressed with Notre Dame and their toughness down the stretch against Rutgers, which isn't a bad team at all. So we'll see. Not trying to hate on anyone.
Drew, I mean, also says his lock is Davidson over Sparty and then tags you in it. People must think this hurts you.
Well, I already said earlier that Davidson's going to beat Sparty.
How about my lock? Hokies over Texas.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's, I definitely had that on my bracket, which, again, it's funny to even mention the bracket anymore because it's dead. It's dead, yes, to me. But just in case I get any picks right, I got the balls over Longwood, right? Got that one. Count it.
Yes you did. What game are you most looking forward to today, Joe Rexrode, in the NCAA tournament? Obviously, no Tennessee today. They'll take on Michigan tomorrow. But what game intrigues you the most today?
That is, I want to make sure to get this right. I want to make sure to look at the whole slate here.
Well, I can answer my part of it.
Okay.
I'm with Michelle. Ohio State Loyola. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. No, that's a very good one. And Ohio State has been trending down. They're still pretty good, though. I think that's a really interesting game. I'm torn on that one as much as I do like Loyola and a young coaching star in the business, Drew Valentine. That's one of them. I think I would have to go, you know, the two games that really stand out to me in terms of games that I'm fascinated to watch, and they're two teams that could face each other, and somehow I feel like one of them at least won't get there. And that's, we've talked a lot about Chattanooga, Illinois, but also UAB, Houston. UAB one has a history in this tournament, you know, of pulling upsets, but also this particular team is really rolling right now. Beat Middle Tennessee, or this could be Middle Tennessee in this spot right now. The Blue Raiders beat them in a crazy triple overtime game. And they've had enough time to rest. And it's a nice Friday game at night, late night game. Those two games, I think, are the ones that I'm really interested in. But there's a lot of potentially good games today, of course.
Well, I tell you this. It's been a while since we've had, you know, obviously the tournament with the environment being what it is and the crowd in the stands, all these things. Yesterday was pretty fun. Like, you know, I'm the college basketball hater here on the show, as Joe Rexroad likes to point out. Yesterday was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to beat this, you know, it is. And I get it. I understand that there's a whole bunch of people who just come on for this, and that's fine. I mean, I love college hoops. Like, I think the holiday tournaments and stuff are fantastic, and conference season is fantastic. But even if you're just coming on right now, it's just, you know, you just can't get this. Like, you'll never be able to get this in college football. You know, you're not going to – in a one night thing in football, like a mid major is not going to come in and hang with Alabama or Clemson or Georgia, right? But in this sport, Kentucky can lose to St. Peter's legitimately. That's just what this sport is. But especially it's what this event is. It's just the right mixture of pressure and opportunity and dreams realized. And, you know, these St. Peter's kids the other day, you know, talking, I mean, like, you know, they're kids who, like, Kentucky or any of these Power Five teams wouldn't even have glanced at in an AAU tournament in the summer. Not even a glance, you know? But they can come together and play this incredible game. And I'm sorry to use them as the example, Michelle, but this is probably going to be the biggest one until the next huge one.
Well, listen, you know? it's like till Duke loses today.
There you go.
Right? That's what I'm rooting hard for. That's the game I'm looking forward to today. It's like the UMBC and Virginia a couple years ago, and then Virginia wins the national championship the next year. So I'm just assuming that that's what's going to happen, right? Onward and upward. Yeah. This show has taken a turn.
If Cal's track record is any indication, yes, you'll be right there in the mix next year.
Yeah, hey, you're so right. No sarcasm in that sentence at all.
Hey, if Oscar T comes back and that NIL money is pretty sweet right now, then it is. I could see.
If it weren't for him last night, Kentucky would have been a 20-point game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And let me reiterate before the show ends. You know, I love you, Vol Twitter. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs. All these Vols fans screaming about how the free throw disparity proved the refs were cheating for Kentucky. That was one of the best officiated games I've seen. And it was not a pro Kentucky whistle. They have a dominant big guy, and they have guards who get to the rim. And St. Peter shoots jump shots. So who do you think is going to draw more fouls?
I don't know. I thought the whistle was pretty heavily in favor of Kentucky.
Oh, don't you even.
You're just trolling me?
He is.
Yes, I am.
Well, the funny thing is, so I've got all these Vols fans just, you know, going, well, count it up. Look at that. And like, do you just, oh.
We lost, like, okay? Are you happy, Vols Twitter?
Well, meanwhile, in the arena – they call like three straight fouls on Kentucky in overtime, and people, you know, the whole arena is like, and like all everybody just has to scream about everything.
Nobody ever thinks their team commits a foul on anybody. It's amazing.
I know. It's a bunch of Baker Mayfields.
Joe, it's prediction time. I'm putting you on the spot. Deshaun Watson apparently down to the Falcons and the Saints. Where is Deshaun Watson quarterbacking next year? Do we find out today?
I would think so. And it's really weird to me that you've had Pitts with that tweet he deleted and at least a couple Atlanta media members reporting that it's, you know, done or close to done or whatever. Like, something happened. I guess the Saints just, you know, again, this is like Alabama, Auburn going after the top recruit in the country. And it's like, okay, wait, what about this? You know, you got the bidding war going on or whatever. Like, I still feel like, especially because he's from Atlanta, and I think he should look at Arthur Smith in that situation. It's not as ready-made in terms of the talent around you as the Saints, but I think I'm going to go with the Falcons.
I think I'm going Falcons too. I will say it's going to be tough in the NFC South. Number one, to be the Carolina Panthers because they're out of the sweepstakes. But number two, whoever loses this race and you've got to take on Deshaun Watson and Tom Brady in your division, that's a tough one. That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, and like the Panthers are basically – so if it's Alabama, Auburn going after the recruit, the Panthers have just been told that they're UAB in football. You
yes.
know? Like, yeah. Where's Sam Darnold? Yeah. Darnold, get Cam back. I don't know. Yeah, good luck. It's got to be tough for them.
We'll see what happens on the Deshaun Watson front, see what happens on Baker Mayfield as well. Could there be movement there? The Browns have said they are not accommodating his trade request. We'll see if Baker Mayfield and the Browns can kiss and make up. Joe, get yourself some sleep coming up later today. I hope you have fun the rest of this weekend in the NCAA tournament. Enjoy Tennessee and Michigan especially.
Yep, got Tennessee-Michigan talking today, later this afternoon. Then maybe a little happy hour and probably a lot of space at the bars and in the streets of Indy today.
I would say there's relative
to what was expected.
I would say there's a decent chance. Michelle, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope this day here on the program has been very therapeutic for you.
Very therapeutic. Now I need to go to the chiropractor, guys, because the head is still sideways. Having severe neck problems. I think I pulled the nerve. Actually not lying, good. Though.
Man, I'm sorry.
I think we have officially rubbed off on Michelle of our oldness. We're sorry.
It's actually driving home is going to be a little scary.
Yeah. Well, be safe, please.
Yeah, maybe get an Uber.
Yeah, we'll be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.